And would you turn in God's Word to the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis? We are engaged in a study of the life of the man named Joseph, a life that is well known to many of you. I know that many of you know about the life of Joseph because after I began this series last Sunday, I had so many to say this was their favorite Old Testament character, and I think there is certainly good reason for that. He is indeed a man of great faith, a great example to us, and I hope will be a subject of profitable study over the next few Sunday mornings when we gather together. I'd like for you to turn to the 39th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 23, and just a moment we'll be reading that text, but I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about living in the presence of God. That's what we're calling this this series of lessons about Joseph, for he was a man who certainly was able to live his life with a view toward the fact that he was always in the presence of God. But I want to talk to you this morning about living in the presence of God when nothing seems to make sense. Now, I did not say when nothing makes sense, but when nothing seems to make sense. And we will all come to points in our lives, I'm confident. If you've not already been through one, then you just get ready, because you're going to come to one at some point in time when things happen that just don't seem to make sense in view of a person's trying to live their life with a view toward God, with a view towards God's will, living their life as people who are always in the presence of God, but yet things happen that we just don't seem to be able to figure out. We face a lot of problems in life. Sometimes, probably most of the time, those problems are of our own making. But what do you do when you are living correctly? You're doing what is right. You're applying the proper principles for life. But yet, things don't go the way that you had hoped they would go. And in fact, things seem to be exactly the opposite of what you would have expected them to be, living your life with a realization of being in the presence of God. You know, things that you thought would be up are actually down, and things that are down seem to be up. We have a lot of clever sayings for times like that. Maybe you've heard the one that says, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Well, that really is that's a help, isn't it? Or sometimes we say, well, just grin and bear it. And then sometimes you hear folks say, cheer up, things could be worse. Well, I'm sure that when a person is in a situation like we've been describing, those kinds of whimsical adages that we speak pretty easily don't provide a whole lot of comfort. So what do you do? I want to tell you that this chapter in Genesis chapter 39 provides for us from the life of this man Joseph, who lived in the presence of God, a good example of how you can live through times of trouble and times of perplexity. Joseph found himself in great difficulty in Genesis chapter 39, and he faced this hardship with principles that will help you and me. Now, just to recap how Joseph got to this point in chapter 39, you'll recall he is the favored son of his father, and he is the object of a great deal of envy and hatred by his brothers, so much so that his brothers conspired together and they sold him into slavery, and he is taken down into Egypt and sold as a slave there. He's bought by a man named Potiphar, and he's put into the service in Potiphar's household. And he is such an exemplary young man. And by the way, this all starts when he's 17 years old. And he's such an exemplary young man. He serves so well in Potiphar's house that Potiphar puts him in charge of everything in his house. Potiphar doesn't give any thought to anything that goes on in his house because he trusts Joseph and the way that Joseph is going to discharge the affairs of his house. Well, through the course of time, we don't know how much time passed, but at some point in time, Potiphar's wife makes inappropriate advances to Joseph, seeks to have him come and to lie with her, but Joseph refuses these advances. And when Potiphar returns home after this, his wife tells him that Joseph has tried to take advantage of her. And so Potiphar has Joseph thrown into prison. And that's where we pick the reading up in verse 19 of chapter 39, when it says that now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Here we, as we noted in last week's study, is that phrase that occurs over and over again in the life of Joseph. The Lord was with him. Joseph was cast into this prison. He's in a situation that does not seem to make sense. After all, he's there for having done nothing wrong, but for having tried to do what is right. And yet he finds himself in these difficult hardships. What do you do in such circumstances? Well, I want to suggest a few things to you based upon the reading that we've just done. And that is that, first of all, one thing that we should not do is we should not demand to understand. Now, that may seem somewhat unusual to say. Don't demand to understand. Now, Joseph's situation, as I said, was not produced by his wrongdoing, but it was produced by doing what is right. And the temptation is to ask in those kinds of circumstances, where is God? Don't you think that Joseph, being cast into that prison, might have been tempted to have said, like a lot of people, well, what good is it to serve God if this is what it brings me to? And there will come times, as I've said, when things just won't make sense, and we'll be tempted to say, things must make sense to me. But we need to be careful that we don't demand in life to always understand why things are happening the way they are. The book of Proverbs has a good passage of Scripture for us in chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Many people have this saying somewhere in their house, maybe embroidered on and hung up on the wall or on a plaque of some sort. But Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." You notice, do not trust or do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, I am not saying to you, don't try to understand. We ought to try to understand things. We ought to try to understand why things happen. But we need to understand that we won't always be able to understand. And we will be setting ourselves up for a spiritual downfall if we demand always to know why things are happening. Let me give you another good passage. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11, the prophet of God had this revealed through him. He says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light?" That's a question. That's a good question. Notice it again. Who among you that fears the Lord? Who among you that is obeying the voice of the Lord and is also walking in darkness? You see, he's asking the question of people who are trying to do what is right with God, but find themselves in situations that are confusing. And he says to them, as they are walking in darkness, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Now look at the rest of this, verse 11. "Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire and among the brands which you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment." Now get this picture in your mind. He's talking to people who are walking in darkness. They don't understand why things are happening like they're happening. And he says, "You trust, you rely upon God." Rather than doing what we oftentimes do, and he describes it as taking firebrands, kindling fire. You get logs burning in a fire, and you take them and you kind of throw them out around and encircle yourself around with that, and you provide light for yourself in the midst of utter darkness. That's the picture here. But what's he describing? He's describing people who set out for themselves, leaning on their own understanding, explanations of why things are happening as they are happening. He says, if you rely upon your own counsel in this way, here's what you will receive from my hand. You'll lie down in torment. He says, you're going to set yourself up for a downfall. Who is this being said of? It's being said of people who demand to understand. In other words, God, explain yourself to me. Why is this being done? Why is this happening? You know, there are a lot of folks in the Bible who came to points in their lives where they obviously did not understand why things were going in the direction that they were going. You think, for instance, about Job. There's a good example of a man who had terrible things to happen to him. There's a man who walked in darkness. There's a man who had confusing circumstances to arise in his life. And there's a man who said some very rash things in the course of reading his book. You can see where he talks about some things of almost demanding from God to know, why is this happening? We come to the end of that book, and Job says, "I will cover my mouth." He says, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to keep my mouth closed because I've said things I should not have said. You read the book of Habakkuk sometime. It's a short little book. It's a great story about the prophet Habakkuk. It starts off with Habakkuk saying to the Lord, saying, "God, how long are you going to abide with your sinful people? How long are you going to allow your people to live in such evil ways? God, when are you going to act? Well, I've had my stomach full of your people. When are you going to do something about it?" And then God says to Habakkuk, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He says, "What I've got in mind is I'm going to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and I'm going to bring them to as the instrument of judgment against my people." Then Habakkuk says, "Now wait a minute, God. you're not going to use such an evil people as the Chaldeans to punish your people. You know, you better be careful sometimes what you wish for." Habakkuk starts out by saying, "I want to know what you're going to do, God." And when God says, "Here, I'll tell you a little bit about what I'm going to do," Habakkuk says, "Are you sure you want to do that?" He was a man who was confused about why things were happening the way they were happening. John the Baptist, The man who saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Later on, after that, was arrested, put into jail. You remember the story? He sent messengers to Jesus. Do you remember the message? It was a question. Are you the one that we are waiting for? Or should we wait for another? You see, John came to a point in his life where things confused him. And he had doubts. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, describes the state of mind that he is in. It's a passage that goes on for a few verses. But in the 8th verse he says, "We are perplexed." You know what perplexed means? It means confused. "I don't understand," he says, "but we are not in despair." We don't despair. You see, Paul is telling us, just because it does not make sense to you does not mean that it does not make sense. Just because it does not make sense to you now does not mean that it will not make sense later. When we come to the end of our study in the life of this man Joseph in the 50th chapter of Genesis in verse 20, he's going to talk to his brothers. He's going to say to them, "You know, what you did to me, you did for evil. You meant harm to me." But he says, "The Lord used it for good." You see, Joseph is going to come later on to a point in his life when he can say, "Now it all makes sense. Now I see." But when he was in that prison cell, it didn't make sense. Don't demand to understand. Don't rely upon your own understanding, but rely upon God. But when nothing seems to make sense, there's another thing we need to do, and that is, don't fail to be faithful. In the midst of those perplexing circumstances, don't give up your faith. You turn back to our text in Genesis chapter 39, in verses 21 through 23, we see where Joseph continued right on in his faith. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Now, picture Joseph in your mind. As I say, we don't know exactly what age he was. We know he was 17 when he was taken into Egypt. He served in Potiphar's house for some period of time, long enough to rise to a level of responsibility. So you account for a few years in the service of Potiphar. And then he ends up being thrown into prison. Does he sit back now and sulk, complain? No. Does he turn away from God? No. He continues to act in a way that God uses and blesses. Even when he could not understand why things were happening as they were happening, he was not a fair weather follower of God. You ever seen fair weather Christians? We see it many times, don't we? They're faithful. We can be faithful. We can be people who are relied upon, people who are dependable as things are going well for us. But you let the grandbaby die. You let the husband die. You let sickness come. You let a child grow to adulthood and then leave the faith. You let something happen that doesn't make sense to that person who has been living in faithful service to the Lord, and suddenly they forsake the Lord. We say sometimes, Yeah, well, you know, it was so sad. It was so tragic about Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. They left the church. No, friend. They left the Lord. That's who we're leaving. That's who we are deserting and forsaking when we just quit and give up because we face some things that don't seem to make sense to us. Even when it doesn't make sense, don't fail to serve God faithfully. Stay in God's control. Continue to be the kind of person that God can use and that God can bless. Joseph did, and the Bible said the Lord was with him. But now, I want you to think as well with me that we need to be careful that we don't become bitter. Continue looking on into the 14th chapter as the story about Joseph unfolds before us. We find that he is in a situation where he deals with two other prisoners. One is a butler of Pharaoh. The other is the baker for Pharaoh. And both of these men have dreams. And Joseph, by God's empowerment, is able to interpret the meaning of these dreams for these two men. For the one, the butler, the interpretation was favorable. You're going to be released and back in the service, put back into the service of the king. For the other, it was going to be a bad outcome, and he was going to be put to death. But I want you to look in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 40. It says, only Joseph is speaking to the man who's going to be raised back up to the king's service. He says to him, keep me in mind when it goes well with you. Please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. And Joseph states the circumstances accurately. He had not been in prison for wrongdoing. They had no reason to put him in jail justly. He had been kidnapped and brought down into Egypt. All of the things that he says are accurate there. But would you please notice one thing about what Joseph does not say? He doesn't say to this man, you know what? I had a bunch of brothers that were just scoundrels. They were no good. They were worth a dime. They weren't worth a dime. They sold me into prison down. I'm suffering these things because of that. And then I got put into the service of this man, Potiphar. His wife was a morally loose woman, and she lied about me, and it was because he was willing to believe her over me. Can you believe that? After all I did for him, he believed her over me and threw me into... Do you see Joseph saying anything about this litany of bitter experiences that he had? Does he give indication of having grown bitter at all over the things that he had experienced? He doesn't even mention these. Not his brother, not Potiphar's wife, not Potiphar. He doesn't accuse any of them in such a bitter fashion. Now, when you're serving God, and when you are suffering for serving God, for doing what is right, don't grow bitter. Put this passage down in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Peter gives this advice to his brethren about how they can serve the Lord. He says, for what credit is it, or for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Now get this in your minds. Peter says, brethren, what good is it? What is there that you can say about the person who does something wrong and they suffer for it? Well, we're getting what we deserve, aren't we? In most instances. But he says, when you suffer for doing what's right and you patiently endure it, What does that do? He says that gains favor with God. And what Peter is saying to his brethren simply is this: brethren, don't grow bitter. Don't grow bitter when you suffer for doing what is right. We need to be very careful about this. If you demand to understand everything that happens, you're not only going to find yourself tempted to drop out of service to God, but you're going to become very bitter in your attitude towards things. Remember 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. Do you want to have the favor of God? Then you be willing to not grow bitter in service. But now, we also need to be careful that we don't become unwilling to wait. Look in Genesis chapter 40, if you would, again. And in verse 23, we find Joseph demonstrating a willingness to wait on things. For chapter 40 and verse 23, after describing how he appealed to this man, the butler — the New American Standard uses the term the chief cupbearer. That is, he was just the man who attended directly to Pharaoh's needs. After appealing to this man to give a good word to Pharaoh on my behalf, verse 23 says, "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." What did Joseph do? Joseph waited. In fact, verse 1 of chapter 41 says, "Now it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream." And you know what happened? When Pharaoh tried to figure out what that dream meant, no one could explain it to him. And that butler said, "You know, I remember a guy that I shared cell block A with. And he could interpret dreams." But when did this happen? 2 years. Joseph stayed in jail 2 full years. Joseph waited. Are you willing to wait? Or are you unwilling to wait on the Lord and on the Lord's purposes? Look in Psalms chapter 37. We find where the psalmist urges his readers to be those who will wait. Psalms 37, verses 5 and following. He says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land." Are you willing to wait? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, we see the Apostle Peter urges his brethren to with patience wait on the Lord. Let me tell you something about God. In the circumstances of your life and my life, God has a schedule, and God is never late. He is always on time. Don't be unwilling to wait. And finally, don't let your dream die. When you face things that don't seem to make sense, don't forget the dream. You remember Joseph's dream back in chapter 37? He spoke to his brothers about it. It was a dream in which he was raised to ascendancy. He was raised to supremacy. And they hated him because he spoke about this dream in which they would bow down before him. It was a revelation of God's purpose to Joseph, of what God was going to do with Joseph. Now, God has made revelation to you and to me. He doesn't do it through dreams. He's done it in His Word. But it is His revelation to you. Do you want to be able to face circumstances in your life that just don't seem to make sense? Don't forget the revelation that God has made to you. Back in Genesis chapter 41, we find where, beginning in verse 37, it says, "Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh, to all his servants." This is when Joseph was making recommendations. He's interpreted the dream to Pharaoh. He's recommending how to find, how Pharaoh can lead his country through difficult times. But Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in the second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." This was the dream. This was exactly what God had said he was going to do with Joseph. Don't forget what God has revealed to you about your life, about His intentions for you. Someone has said, it's a good saying, don't doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light. When you come to those times in your life when it's dark and you don't understand and nothing seems to make sense, don't let the light of God's Word die out in your life. Don't forget what you learned to be God's purpose for you. You know, we may come to the end of our lives and never understand why things have happened the way that they have. But what a tragedy it would be to come to the end of that life. And because I demanded to understand, and I never did get the explanation I was insisting upon, I gave up my service to God. What a tragedy to come to the end of life. And then to stand before God, having lost faith, and to have to say, "I quit because I didn't understand." Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. And just because it doesn't make sense now doesn't mean it won't make sense later. And it may be beyond this lifetime, but there is coming a time when it will make sense. But in the meantime, don't demand to understand. Don't fail to be faithful. Don't grow bitter in your confusion. Don't become unwilling to wait on the Lord, and don't give up that truth that you learned to be God's will. Are you living your life serving God as Joseph did, come what may, learning what God's will is for you? Are you submitting yourself to that whenever you learn it? If you're not, you can begin today. And the place to begin is in giving your obedience to the gospel of Jesus. Jesus told men and women that they must believe that He is the Son of God. And those who would believe so would turn from their sins. And turning away from their sins, confessing Him to be God's Son, they would be baptized, washing sins away. And with the guilt of sins washed from them, they would lead lives of faith, not giving up, even in confusing times. Wouldn't you live that life for Him? We pray you will while we stand and sing.